Good morning. Education funding has been sliced and diced at the legislature. What's in the budget now and what that signals is on our agenda this morning. Jim Shawn, the director of the Educational Policy Center, joins us in a few minutes with an overview. And there's no love lost between Hart and Honolulu's auditor. In today's reality check, we'll look at the draft report detailing the poor management that led to cost overruns. I'm Beth Ann Koslovich.
And I'm Chris Vandercook. Trash becomes treasure in a Maui art show with a message, and the Hula Honeys revive the music and the spirit of Territorial Days.
It's a Friday, April 15th, and those are some of the conversations coming up on The Conversation after this news.
Good morning and welcome to The Conversation. I'm Chris Vandercook. Good morning, Beth Ann.
Good morning. Here we are on day 10
I know.
Of Challenge 2016 and hoping we're going to go like H-E double toothpicks, as my English teacher
used to say.
That's
right. We're within sight of the barn.
We are. We're going to see how fast we can get there. But for the moment, it's not going to happen during this hour, so we're going to relax and have a little conversation. Now, the hot list for the legislature had several issues that you can probably name, but it seems that education wasn't one of them. One look at the budgets from both the House and the Senate can tell you that. And although the reasoning behind each chamber's reassessment comes from a slightly different perspective, the result so far appears to show a simple fact that this time around, education just isn't on the priority shortlist. To take a look at what made it and what didn't to this point, Hawaii Education Policy Center Director Jim Shawn joins us now. Good morning.
Aloha. Great to be here on your last day of the fund drive and to celebrate all the kinds of great education you do for the public every day.
Well, thank you very much, Jim. Didn't know you were going to say anything like that, but I appreciate it. I know we all do. But looking at what is in this the budget and the differences in the reasoning and the approach from each chamber seems to be a little different.
Yes, the House has always been a little more frugal and cautious and kind of just say no most of the time for big budget items. And then later in the session, the Senate comes back, which they just did with their budget. They say, well, we'll just say yes, maybe sort of for more items. The big item that still is hanging out there is over $100 million for air conditioning. But the rest is a little bit around the edges. Not a lot of extra money. The big, big ticket item that was proposed by HSTA, the teachers, that was kind of dead on arrival because it being an increase in the general excise tax and whatnot, the agenda still rolls around. But basically, when you look at what the Ways and Means Committee did, which is adding a little more back into the budget at this stage, it's only about $43, $45 million out of a $2 billion, you know, overall amount. So it's not a lot that they are negotiating over.
The HSTA bill that you mentioned just a moment ago, that was pretty much a long shot. HSTA itself knew that and acknowledged that and was just trying to, as has been said in many cases like this, start a conversation and really ask us how much we value education or not and if we're willing to put dollars to it in that way. Obviously, this time around, that didn't fly. But in terms of what actually got a little bit of money or what didn't, open doors is going to stay open, but the money that it got for it, that $6 million, is pretty much the same thing it got last year.
That's right.
Nothing had increased it.
This is subsidies to families for preschool, they needed $6 million to keep going at the same rate. Governor Ige did put it in the budget. The House played with it, said, let's call it federal funds, which don't exist, but that's basically a negotiating holding it for conference committee. Ways and Means put it back in. But this still means about 7,000 preschoolers, fourth grader, or excuse me, four-year-olds, will probably still not get into a preschool system. So neither the administration nor the legislature wanted to significantly increase money for preschool and to bring in that extra 5,000 to 7,000 four-year-olds that are in no preschool experience, which, of course, is crucial for their overall educational achievement down the road.
All right, moving on, just in the interest of time, looking at what happened in the DOE, winners, losers there?
Well, certainly, there's $10 million for English language learners, which is a very crucial element these days because we have a lot of new immigrants coming into the schools. Many of them do not speak English at home, so this is going to be a big of a boost. There's also extra money, about $16 million, for the school-level weighted formula that schools have a little more wiggle room with, and that's part of the EGAE initiative, not nearly as much as he may have wanted. There's money for transportation, another $7 million for the buses for DOE. There's a lot of CIP capital improvements for repair, maintenance, new schools, that sort of thing in the DOE, and a big chunk in an extra bill for air conditioning. None of these really apply very much to the charter schools.
Well, I was going to ask you about that because charters seem to be really, you know, pushing a ball up a hill these days.
That's right. Ways and Means did put in some $700,000 for hard-to-fill positions in charters, but basically the attitude is that you're not going to get an additional significant per-pupil amount and nothing for facilities. So,
and that's been the big sticking point for a decade.
That's right. One charter school is spending $900,000 a year that they could spend in the classroom just to rent facilities. So that relief has not yet showed up yet. And most of the tinkering with the budget has related specifically to Department of Education schools, which is fine, but they have not yet sought to really extend that to the charters. The University of Hawaii, the big ticket item that they're playing with is the Cancer Center. And the House wants to see a sustainable plan for that before it puts any money on the table. The Senate tried to put $3 million back in for it, but you have to match it with another $1.5 million, so it's not a lot. And I think there's great skepticism that the university has not yet shown the legislature, particularly the House, here's our sustainable plan, even with decreasing cigarette money.
What about, though, with UH West Oahu, Hilo, the community colleges? Did they get anything out of this that you think is substantial?
They did, and they're getting money for new programs. So what's really clear is that the legislature has confidence in and likes West Oahu. They like Hilo. They like the community colleges. Not so much UH Manoa.
All right, we're going to leave it there. Thanks so much for coming in. Good to see you. Jim Shawn is the director of the Hawaii Educational Policy Center.
Support for The Conversation comes from Bank of Hawaii Private Banking, where a personal relationship manager and financial services team provide custom solutions. Learn more about Bank of Hawaii Private Banking at boh.com. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Thanks, Charles, and support for The Conversation comes from you, the members of Hawaii Public Radio. Get you up to speed. The big board says we have $68,914 to go. Five-digit territory, Wayne Yoshioka.
Ooh.
This thing is starting to pick up all kinds of momentum. If you want to show your support for The Conversation, give us a call right now at 941-3689, 941-3689. Toll free, 1-877-941-3689. $880 to go on that matching gift that Richard and Judith Michaels have put on the table from Kihei. Now more than ever, folks, we need to take these $880 in the next few minutes. In the next few minutes, we need to take that money. Give us a call, 941-3689. I know you want to get in the game. Don't wait. We have our lines open right now. We have our friends from the Sierra Club just standing by to answer the phones. Come on, people. Give us a call, 941-3689, in support of the conversation. This is a program that brings the whole entire state together by a thread. It brings the stories from the Big Island, from Kauai, from Maui, from all the islands. It just brings it all together. And we need programs like this, and you need to support programs like The Conversation. Give us a call right now. We're looking for our first caller to help us get that much closer to take this $880 that are left on the table on the matching gift from Kihei. And joining me this morning is Marty Townsend, and you have a great story. You're from the Sierra Club, right?
Yes, I'm the director of the Sierra Club of Hawaii.
Absolutely. And you've dealt with The Conversation before many times, not necessarily with the Sierra Club, but, you know, the importance of telling our local story, the importance of having our stories, your story, your organization. How important is that, and why do you think that a program like The Conversation needs support from our listeners?
The Conversation helps us all to get behind the headlines of issues and really talk about what's going on in our communities. It's, you know, that's the power of our voices, us hearing each other, and to work through some, you know, relatively complicated and heavy issues. And I really appreciate the work that Beth Ann and Chris provide, that opportunity for community members to hear each other think things through.
And you know, not only are you telling us how important The Conversation is to you, but a lot of people put their money where their mouth is. Mm-hmm. And I want to welcome you to our ohana, because this morning you became a new member. You came aboard as a new member of Hawaii Public Radio. So you're part of the ohana. You have a voice. You can always tell us what you like, what you don't like. We need to hear from people like yourself. And you taking that first course of action, like you just heard, needs to be applauded. And we do appreciate it. And we need a lot more people just like you.
Yeah, well, I figured I couldn't get on the air and ask people to give money if I didn't also give money myself. And I know that I listen to HBR every morning. It's part of my daily routine, as I hear other people say that also. And I rely on it as a place to not only learn information, but also to get information out. And Hawaii is, you know, we're in a state of transition. We have a, you know, a bright future ahead of us, many great opportunities. And it's only through working it out with everyone that we can ensure that bright future includes everyone.
You know what? When we finish this drive today, that will ensure that tomorrow, as people are planning their day for a Saturday, they will have their uninterrupted programs running all day long, starting with Weekend Edition, Splendid Table, Radio Lab, yeah. Wait, Don't Tell Me.
My favorite show.
All of it. Yeah. I mean, all of it. And people are into routine. They want their routine back. And we interrupt that routine twice a year because we have to. We don't want to, but we have to.
But yeah, I intentionally worked it out that we would come on this day in the hopes that we'd be able to celebrate with you guys that it
no,
would actually
work. No, you will.
No. Hoping is one thing. Because we're only down to five digits, man. I can count that on one hand.
You know, hoping is one thing. You could hope that this is going to happen. In this business, you have to want it to happen and make it happen. But I can't do it. The person that's listening to all of us right now, they're the ones that can make it happen. Mm-hmm. We can just set the table and say, here, come eat.
Yeah. You know, I think that the Sierra Club demonstrates the power of people, you know, leaning in and working together, and people donating to HBR today, you know, helps to continue that sense of like community involvement and us all working together and networking. I mean, the Sierra Club does majority of its work all with volunteers between outings and work days and, you know, public education and outreach, movie nights, advocacy, and it's a demonstration of that same kind of spirit of community advancement and community involvement.
And let's not forget that Sierra Club is a statewide organization. I mean, they have members everywhere. And Hawaii Public Radio is a statewide service. So, you know, we're in the same lane.
So our friends, Sierra Club, if you're not yet a member, what a better way to do it right now. 941-3689. We are down to, still, like I said, the last count was $68,914 to go. We just have this $880 sitting on the table, just waiting to be taken. I'm just mind-boggled that we can't have all of these phones. These phones should be ringing off the hook right now.
And we have Marty's colleagues, Randy Ching, Lele Joy Shi, and David Kimo Frankel, waiting for your call from the Sierra Club. 941-3689 on Oahu, toll-free 877-941-3689.
You know, you're talking about the power of the ring. The minute that phone rings, it just starts this tsunami of interest. Give us a call. I can't tell you how imperative it is that you give us a call. One call right now helps us get that much closer to the end of the drive.
I mean, just imagine how boring your life would be without the efforts that HPR, the local programming that HPR produces, the national programming that it helps us get access to. And without HPR, we wouldn't have that kind of connection.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You don't say things you don't mean. I mean, you know what I'm saying? We have the conversation right here. Is a program that keeps the whole state together. It's a conversation that needs to be heard, and that's why we have it here on Hawaii Public Radio. 941-3689, toll-free 1-877-941-3689. We're going back to the conversation. Chris Vandercook is going to take it over in just a bit. Again, a reminder, the phone lines are open at 941-3689 during the program. Take it, Chris.
Hey, thanks, Ray and Wayne and Marty Townsend at the pledge table. You're back with the conversation on HPR2. And the idea of making art from trash used to be an outlandish one. Now it's almost mainstream with exhibits at contemporary galleries that might make you think you'd wandered into a storeroom. For the folks at Malama Maui Nui, the use of found materials to make art has a practical as well as an ornamental function, as well as a message for us all. Malama Maui Nui and Sharing Aloha are currently running their annual Art of Trash show, and Jennifer Cox is on the line to tell us about it. Good morning, Jennifer.
Good morning, Chris. How are you?
Pretty good, pretty good. How long have you folks been doing this?
This will be the 14th year for the Art of Trash.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Well, it was sort of an outlandish idea back then, but it makes more sense every year, don't you think?
Absolutely, and more often people are coming in with new ideas and new works. You know, we don't know what pieces we'll get until the week prior for entry day, the Saturday prior to the opening night. Is when people just show up, it's like an open call. Show us what you got. And every year we have new artists joining in, as well as some repeats of folks who just kind of mastered this redefining garbage into works of art thing. It's pretty incredible to see what local Maui County artists can come up with.
Well, it's amazing the range that you folks have, because, you know, you could think of a few, you know, obvious things you could do, collages of, but it goes well beyond that, doesn't it?
Absolutely. This year, I've been a part of this for 3 years now, and this is the first time that I have seen a working robot. That's for the first prize winner this year, Tommy, made by the artist Murphy. It's a robot right in the front who just kind of wiggles around and dances, and with Tommy the Tank Engine as his face.
Really?
Yeah. So, I mean, we've got electricity. We've got a couple of pieces that use electricity, but obviously, you know, that means that they were using wires again, repurposing old wires to make electrical things work, and it just blows my mind because I personally am not an artist, so to see how these things come to fruition is just amazing.
Well, because everything, as you say, you can't just put a wire on it. It has to be a repurposed wire, yeah?
Yes, all works have to be made from discarded or, you know, repurposed, reinvented materials. So the beauty of it is that these artists transform these materials. And so half the time you're looking at a piece and you're like, wow, this is amazing. And then you look further and you're like, that's a soda tab or that's an old house key. You can spend a good, it's a relatively small space, but you can spend a good half hour in there, just looking at and trying to figure out what is this made out of and what are the pieces here. I had a coworker and a an attendee and myself, we're standing there for literally 5 minutes looking just at the wings of this phoenix that had these beautiful feathers and realizing that, okay, it's made out of wire, but how is the wire attached to this metal piece? And what, how did they even, you know, did they unravel it? What is this? It's just, it's a mind boggle and amazing testament to the creativity of people.
This has a sort of a higher purpose within the work of Malama Maui Nui, yeah?
Absolutely. This is the annual celebration of ours for Earth Day, and we want to really stimulate environmental awareness and highlight the importance of reducing and reusing materials, you know, saving on our resources, reducing our waste stream, the volume of our waste stream, rather. And I think it really proves, you know, obviously not everybody's going to be able to go home and make a robot out of the stuff they find in their trash can. But in the example of another piece, there, you know, the way that they hung up, it's this beautiful bottle fish, bottle cap fish. But behind it, how they're hanging it up is using a piece of wire, soda tabs, and screws to connect it to the piece of work for it to hang like a frame would on a wall. It's like, I could do that. You know, I have very limited table space in my small little apartment, and I could do something like that without having to go buy a new picture frame. And so just kind of stimulating those ideas of how we can incorporate creative reuse in our lives.
You know, I would think, Jen, that just getting people to pause for a moment before they throw something away and say, I wonder if there's something else I could use this for, that would be an accomplishment in itself, wouldn't it?
Absolutely, absolutely. And then just thinking also of the alternatives, you know, rather than taking that pause or a knee-jerk reaction, like, okay, maybe can I use this again? If not, is there a different place where this can go besides the trash can?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we do a paint exchange on our base yard, and it's the same facet of like, okay, I have enough paint for my walls, but maybe somebody else could use this paint. It's perfectly good latex paint. Let me go put it in this exchange and see if somebody else could take, you know, make use of it. And so just having those thoughts, all that environmental awareness and thinking about how can I turn this to be a little bit more sustainable act.
You know, there's one of the artworks that you folks are using to illustrate this exhibit. It really struck me because it's one that it shows what the exhibit's about, but it also has a little bit of bite to it. And I'm talking about the lace on albatross image.
Absolutely. So that was last year in last year's gallery, and that was hung on the wall right next to the info table. So for opening night, I just kept looking over my shoulder and being like, oh my gosh. It was mounted on a satellite dish, so you can imagine the size of this piece.
Wow.
And yeah, I mean, to realize, like, yes, this is made out of all discarded materials, but the inside of that bird is literally what people are finding inside those albatrosses.
Exactly.
And the midway adult. And so that I think, really did strike home, especially, and did for a lot of people, not only because of the size of it, but because of the literal as well as the figurative statement that piece made.
Yeah, I mean it's a wrenching image because it does look exactly the way many a bird in today's oceans would look if you opened it up, and that's kind of
right.
Awful to think about the things that end up inside these beautiful animals. Yeah,
absolutely. There's another piece this year from a class of fifth graders actually that it is a tuna fish, and the title is Tuna 2032. Which struck me because, you know, with the statistics coming out today that, I mean, don't quote me, but I believe it was like there will be 1 pound of plastic for every 3 pounds of fish in the ocean in some decades into the future. And the fish that they made is made completely out of rubbish that you would find at a beach cleanup. And it's like, oh, man, again, I know that's supposed to be a figurative representation, but that could be literal in a few years' time if we're not careful and not rethinking about how we manage our waste.
Jen, that's a big part of what art's supposed to do, and I thank you very much for taking the time this morning.
Absolutely. Thank you for having us.
Jennifer Cox is the Community Relations Director for Malama Maui Nui, which is running its annual Art of Trash show until April 30th at Maui Mall.
Support for Hawaii Public Radio comes from the National Kidney Foundation of Hawaii, striving to increase awareness and treatment of kidney diseases affecting 1 in 7 Hawaii residents. Learn more at kidneyhi.org.
In today's Backyard Quiz, we're pulling out our pristine copy of the November 1991 edition of Hawaii Arts Monthly, a now-defunct Hawaii Public Radio publication, and we're testing your historical memory of station programming. If you were listening 25 years ago, you might recall that Cliff Eblin was HPR president and general manager. There was no email for the station, just the phone number that has stayed the same all these years, and the fax machine that now isn't nearly as popular as it used to be. Over two decades ago, there were only four production studios. Now there are seven. And HPR2? Well, back then it was just tiny KIPO. For today's Backyard Quiz, we're asking you what aired in the Conversation's time slot weekday mornings 8 to 9 o'clock on KIPO. Do you know? Call us at 941-3689 or 877-941-3689. And if you're the first with the correct answer, you'll get the HPR t-shirt.
Support for The Conversation comes from the HPR Local Talk Show Fund, whose contributors help Hawaii Public Radio sustain and grow its locally produced talk show programming. Mahalo to the St. Andrew Schools, which includes the Priory School for Girls, the Prep for Boys, and Queen Emma Preschool.
You're back with The Conversation on HPR Hawaii Public Radio. I'm Chris Vandercook, and for today's international news, here's a look at global events from Deutsche Welle.
Good morning. Day 10, Challenge 2016. Ray Cruz with you here, cutting in on the conversation, Deutsche Welle news that you hear only on the conversation on this Aloha Friday. And it's turning out to be a pretty exciting and good Aloha Friday, as it's going to be it will be the last day of celebration, Challenge 2016. We have $69,789 to go. We're in the five-digit territory. And we have $550 to go on that matching gift that's on the table from Richard and Judith Michaels of Kihei. 941-3689 is the number. 941-3689. Toll free 1-877-941-3689. We have our friends from the Sierra Club here this morning answering the phone. And Marty Townsend, the last time we spoke to everybody, we got a flurry of activity. We ended up getting two new members called in at 941-3689. We also got an additional giver, and that got us down to the $550 to go. And Gene Evans, we also have more leverage to help us get to our goal of getting this below the $64,000 mark right now.
Yeah, I want to speak directly to you. We've been through 9 days of the drive, and you have so far successfully avoided calling. Because you want your call to count. You want to make your pledge leverage. Okay, in the next little while, we're going to leverage your pledge. Randy Chang of the Sierra Club is here today answering phones with his cronies. And he decided, let's stir things up. Let's shake it up a little bit. What I'll do is I'll give you an additional $1,000 so we can really get this ball rolling this morning on
HPR. Unbelievable.
Now, the way this is going to work for the next little while, we're going to run two challenges simultaneously. So that means if you call in with a pledge of $10 a month or more, your pledge will be tripled effectively. So call in now with a pledge of $10 a month to Hawaii Public Radio, and we'll get $120 from you, get $120 from the Michaels, and we'll get $120 from Randy Chang. Your pledge, $10 a month, is worth $360 to Hawaii Public Radio for just this little while.
941-3689, 941-3689, toll-free from the Neighbor Islands. Give us a call right now, 1-877-941-3689. Wayne?
Want to thank a new member, Sarah Price from Holualoa. She says, because I don't have a TV, I use HPR for my news. I love New Dimensions and Splendid Table and Humankind. An additional gift from Lorraine Montgomery from Kailua Kona. She says, HPR is my family. It fills my house with life. 941-3689 on Oahu, toll-free 877-941-3689.
I just want to say thank you so much for calling in to hear the phones ring while we were on the air for the actual show. Just made me feel so good. It's nice to know that people are listening and are calling in response to all the things we're talking about. It feels really, really good. So thank you very much for your support.
It's a rush, Marty Townsend from the Sierra Club. It really is. $430. $430 to go on that $1,000 matching gift on the table from Richard and Judith Michaels, and we also have another $1,000 on the table just waiting to be had.
Again, call now, triple your pledge. Call in a pledge of $500, and it'll be worth $1,500 to a
Whoa,
Hawaii
Public. That's big
money.
Right
now,
big
it's
money.
Just the next couple of minutes. We're trying to accelerate. We're trying to get the point across to you guys. We can finish this thing today. We will finish it. We'd like you along for the ride.
Absolutely. And you know what? In the afternoons, I've been in enough of these drives when it starts rolling, people want to call and they can't get through. They really can't. And at this point, we could finish it. And the one thing that I want more than anything else is for HPR2 to make its stamp on this drive, stamp on this drive, because down the road, HPR is going to be the white elephant in the room. We are right now. We're just waiting for the chance. We're chomping at the bit. Our programming speaks for itself, and you can be part of getting us that much closer to ending this drive today. Give us a call, 941-3689, toll-free, 1-877-941-3689. We have, Marty, we have two new sustainers on the line, okay?
Rock on. Thank you, guys.
Absolutely. At $10 a month, that's what it takes. Leverage, we have everything is on the table. This is set up perfectly. It's like a reliever coming in at the bottom of the ninth. You know all he has to do is just throw one pitch and we're done. $280 to go on that $1,000 matching gift on the table. Wayne?
And you know, we're already building KAHU in Pahala on the slopes of the Kulani Cone. And you know, we're going to get East Hawaii Island pretty soon. 941-3689 for your support. Toll-free from the Big Island and elsewhere, 877-941-3689. Let's get those phones ringing.
I just want to give a shout-out to HPR. This is my first time doing a pledge drive, and I really enjoy the energy of everyone here at all hours and working hard. And I'm really impressed you guys have a zero-waste event here. I saw that you have the bokashi bucket where you put all of your bio waste, and then you have your recycling bin, and everything is reusable. I'm just, you know, kudos to you guys for, like, living the philosophy, and I hope you guys didn't just do that today knowing that I was coming in.
No.
Good. Well, I really appreciate it. Thank you.
You're more than welcome. 941-3689, toll-free, 1-877-941-3689. We're going back to the conversation here, and the phone lines will be open. If you hear a story that just moves you and does something for you, but more importantly, just give us a call.
We're not asking you to pledge everything that we need to go. We're asking you to do your fair share. Look in your heart and figure out how much it is you can do, and call 941-3689 and do it. Triple your money right now.
Absolutely. We're going back to the conversation for a reality check, and our reality check is happening right here. Take it over.
Thanks very much, Ray. And oh, it's just sounding so exciting over there. Now, it hasn't yet been made public, but the draft audit over the cost overruns for rail points to mismanagement over at the Honolulu Authority for Rapid Transportation. And that's why the man who heads HART made a preemptive strike. Civil Beat reporter Chad Blair has today's reality check. Good morning.
Good morning, Beth. Yeah.
Now, when he called the press conference yesterday, Dan Grabauskas called the audit a so-called audit, and he said that it was a joke. Was this a good move on his part when so few people have actually seen this report?
A joke, by the way, that's not funny. An audit that is a mess. He went on. He said it's inaccurate and many other things. But as to whether it was a wise thing, the way Nick Ruby, our reporter, characterized it, I think it's accurate, is that it's a preemptive strike. He is coming on the attack before this audit comes out officially, which will be very critical of Hart's management of that rail project. Right now at $6.6 billion and counting, I should tell you there is a draft that is out. Nick has posted that on our website. You can review that. It is not the final audit. It does not include Hart's formal responses to the audit, which Dan Grabowska strongly urged reporters to take a look at.
Right. We've seen that one, but a lot of people really haven't. It kind of, you know, not been it really very much in the public eye, but there was a lot of criticism for the lack of transparency, accurate record keeping, all of that that we've been talking about, you and I, on several reality checks, that many people have been talking about for a very long time. This doesn't seem to be new news. But what in this report do you think is particularly salient that people maybe have not heard about?
One of the things that kind of stood out was that Hart executives appear to have known several years before they actually reported it to officials that there were going to be some significant budget shortfalls due to those rising costs of the project, the cost coming not only from lawsuits but also construction delays. They knew as early as 2012. It wasn't until more than 2 years later that information got to city officials. And, of course, what happens then is they turn around and ask for more money, and then we have the rail subsidy, the GE tax, the GET extension, of course, here on Oahu to pay for that. Another thing that the audit says is, you know, it appears that they may be looking to have find other ways to subsidize this project, because based on the pattern, we're looking at having additional cost overruns down the road.
And not an issue that we haven't talked about, too, or that people haven't stopped to consider, but it's the how of it, as well as once it's actually up and running, what do you do about maintenance? What do you do about continuing what has to happen on a day-to-day basis to keep it running?
And what the audit is saying is you need to improve the operations and the management of Hart, as well as explore different ways to subsidize the project. Edwin Young, by the way, the city auditor, said that he was disappointed in Grabowska's attack, stands by the report. You will be able to see that full report as early as Saturday, but there is a draft up on our website that's definitely worth looking at. It's pretty concerning. Sloppy record keeping, lack of clear management guidelines, cost estimates that are at best educated guesses.
Yeah, going back to a whole bunch of things, including about what was known, when it was known, and why it wasn't shared with a lot of other people, including the city council. Okay, we're going to leave it there. Thanks very much, Chad. Talk to you on Monday when, if all things being equal, we won't be having this pledge drive any longer. We'll be done. Have a good weekend.
You guys hang in there, okay?
Thanks so much. Chad Blair reports for Civil Beat.
Earlier this morning, we traveled back in time to 1991 when Cliff Eblen was president and CEO of Hawaii Public Radio. HPR had launched its second program stream on station KIPO. It was then heard only on Oahu, if you could actually hear it. We found a program guide in the 10th anniversary edition of HPR's now-defunct Hawaii Arts Monthly with the KIPO grid and asked if you knew what program was scheduled to air in the Conversations 8 to 9 a.m. time slot Monday through Friday. 25 years ago, Bob Christensen and Bill Morlock hosted a daily nationally syndicated program called Bob and Bill, and it was described by some as a classical version of Car Talk. Well, that's today's quiz, and if you have one to share, send it to talkback@hawaiipublicradio.org.
Support for The Conversation comes from the HPR Local Talk Show Fund, which helps Hawaii Public Radio sustain and grow its locally produced talk show programming. Mahalo to contributors Whole Foods Market Hawaii, Ulupono Initiative, and Hawaii Pacific University.
If your memories of small kid time go back to territorial days, you can be forgiven for waxing nostalgic. It was a simpler and certainly less crowded Hawaii that's kept alive in the music of the period. The easy swinging hapa haole tunes played on guitars, ukulele, and stand-up bass. Happy memories of that music led Ginger Johnson and her friends to form the Hula Honeys. And Ginger's on the line to tell us about the band. Good morning, Ginger.
Well, good morning, Chris. Thanks for having me.
Sure. This is kind of the story of your life, in a way, the formation of this group, yeah?
I guess so. My partner and I, Robin Newbel, we really got to live the dream and didn't know it at the time.
Well, describe the dream, would you, Ginger?
Well, I think that's what you were saying. We were little girls when Waikiki was such a charming place. And my dad worked at the Hawaiian Village, and Robin's mother, Emma Veery, was singing in Waikiki at all the best places. And we really got to be part of that time.
It's all, I get this picture of the kid on the fringe of the crowd kind of taking it all in, yeah?
Yeah, I was a little girl that had the full run of the Hawaiian Village. As a little girl, you know, I could sneak around and did. You know, I'd spend hours and hours in the lobby, and there was a trio of women singers, you know, beautiful local women in long dresses and big flowers, and they really got away with murder. They would just go around leaning on the lava rock wall and singing, you know, a cappella and with their, acoustically, pardon me.
Sure.
And I saw them having a wonderful time. Back when a lot of women weren't having all that much fun, you know, most of them were relegated to the kitchen.
Aha.
You know? And so that really opened my eyes.
No, I imagine. And you're right. It was, it sort of showed you a path then.
Well, I saw women having fun with music, yes. And I love music. And Robin and I grew up in the same neighborhood in East Honolulu. And she's a dancer. And we just had we just really loved this kind of music, yeah.
How would you describe it to somebody who had just gotten here and had really never heard any of it?
Well, we've been asked that before enough times that I have a tidy answer. And that would be it's a Hawaiian hapahali swing.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty much what we do. And we generally have a stand-up bass player, and we have a lot of fun. We sing jazz standards and also the hapahali stuff. And, it's wonderful music. It can be very simple, but it can also be remarkably clever.
What are some of your tunes, Ginger?
Oh, golly. What are our tunes? Well, let's see. We sing Down Ala Moana Way. That's a Casimero tune.
Uh-huh.
The Ahi. Some originals. Nani Waiali Ali. Sweet Someone. That's a classic. Moon Glow.
Oh,
Maile Lei for Your Hair. A wonderful song called Kahului, which is pretty tongue-in-cheek. Stuff like that.
So the whole idea is, and then this really is, as you say, there's a swing route to it all. A lot of the great songs, these are sort of pre-war swing era, pre-Second World War swing era tunes that were kind of kept alive through the 50s and 60s, yeah?
Yes, absolutely.
When you say you do some jazz standards, what are some of those? I'm trying to picture what would fit into that.
Well, Moon Glow is a jazz standard.
So it is,
and,
yeah.
Dream. The Nearness of You, Love Being Here With You, some Peggy Lee, you know, I Don't Know Enough About You.
Uh-huh.
Stuff like that. It translates right on to the ukulele beautifully.
You're the, you play the, four, looks like a four-string tenor guitar, yeah?
That's true, I do. We both played ukulele in the beginning, and we were sort of canceling each other out, so we needed a little bit more sustain, so I went over to the tenor guitar.
It's a very underappreciated instrument, isn't it, Ginger?
Well, it all depends. Some people think the world of it.
No, I mean, I appreciate it, but you don't see that many of them. It's been a...
But just like the ukulele, it's having a little teeny-weeny resurgence, you know?
Oh, good.
Yeah, it's a fun thing, and I've got a couple of beauties. You know, depending on the venue is what we bust out, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Because it does seem to fill that sort of sonic gap between the high-end sound of an ukulele and the bottom provided by the upright bass. It kind of fits neatly right in the middle.
I think so, yeah.
No,
but, when we have no bass, we're just bereft. You know, we're just miserable when we have a gig that won't pay for the bass player.
Just because you need that walking bass is kind of the spine to the music, yeah?
You just need that bottom end.
You do. When you write your own originals, you obviously want them to be kind of in that style, you know? You want them consistent, right, with the standards and well-known tunes that you're doing. So how do you meet a challenge like that? How do you make it fit in?
You know, that's easier than you think, because a lot of the Hapa-Hali tunes were not overly complicated, you know? I just wrote a little song, The Girl in the Coconut Hat, and it was just, it just rolled out. It wasn't 5 minutes, and it sounds very much like a lot of the standards, and it's on one of our LPs.
Well, when a song rolls out in just 5 minutes like that, it tends to be more cohesive because it's a single idea rather than a bunch of ideas kind of cobbled together, yeah?
Well, I think you're right again, and I tend to be overly complicated, so it was good just to get that one out. Oof.
Well, you know, Ginger, all of us tend to be overly complicated, and that's kind of where the music comes in, because it's not overly complicated. Kind of encourages us not to be, don't you think?
Yes, of course, and that's its intention. You know, this is music that's not supposed to make you really go sit in the corner and weep. You know, this is like, hey, look at this nice day. What a beautiful breeze, and maybe that girl will fall in love with me, and maybe I can go ahead and have positive thoughts, and maybe there's a possible good future. That's what it's supposed to do.
Yeah, I think that's way better than sitting in the corner and weeping, Ginger. So.
Well, I guess there's a time for everything.
I hope so. Well, I'd rather go your way anyway. Thanks so much for taking the time. I appreciate it.
Oh, thank you, Chris. We really enjoyed it.
You bet. Ginger Johnson plays four-string guitar and sings with the Hula Honeys. He'll be performing next Thursday at 11:30 a.m. at the Ka'ahumanu Church in Wailuku. It's a free performance, and you can learn more about it on our Hawaii Conversation Facebook page. The Hula Honeys, as we just described them, talking to Ginger Johnson, bring back the music of that sort of happy time in childhood when everything's kind of exciting and wonderful. That's kind of one of the, I think everybody who does music sort of goes back to that time when music first really hit them, yeah?
This is true, and it's kind of the way we're feeling right now.
That's right.
Happy time, looking toward the end of this pledge drive, and we're going to go over now to Pledge Central and see what's been happening over there. As we've been hearing phones ringing down the hallway. Ray, tell me how things are going.
Pretty good, Beth Ann. Thanks, and great show this morning. Picking up some momentum here as we see the finish line of Challenge 2016 coming ever so closer to an end. Sometime today, it could be early, it could be a little bit later in the afternoon, but it's going to be today, but we can't get there without you. You know, the funny thing is, here at HPR, I was listening to Ginger Johnson say something like, at HPR, we try not to make things overly complicated. It's really easy. You pick up the phone, you call 941-3689, toll free at 1-877-941-3689. Gets us that much closer to the end of the drive. And here's where we stand. We have, you hear that? You know what that means, right?
707.
That's right. If you've been tuning in from day one, we have our Radio Files Mystery Message of the Day. And today's last word for the mystery message is likely. I'll repeat it one more time. Likely. All right? And this is likely the last time you'll hear the word of the day. So get in your answer to the puzzle now. Go to HPR's website for the link and entry form. All right? And as I was telling you, we have $245 to go on our $1,000 matching gift that's on the table from Richard and Judith Michaels of Kihei in support of the conversation. Two true believers at the $10 a month level will wipe that off the table. And we also have a challenge gene from Randy Ching, who's here from the Sierra Club.
Yeah, Randy's sitting here waiting for your call. He said, let's shake things up. He said, I'm going to put an additional $1,000 on the table. We still got $730 of his to take away. If you call now with your pledge, 941-3689. Call us from the Big Island, 1-877-941-3689. Your pledge will be effectively tripled for this short little while.
So absolutely.
Don't do the math. Just say you're going to help out and get us to the finish line today. Call right now.
Absolutely. Two true believers at the $10 a month level will help us take that $245 that's on the table. And when that's $700 and some odd that we have left from Randy, that very generous gift that he's pulling on the table, a couple of dollar a days. And why don't you take Eaton Emergency Radio with you? And all the premiums that we have available are volunteers from the Sierra Club who are still with us here.
Yeah.
They're waiting to hear from you. Let's not waste their early morning hours of coming in and sitting in on performance today in the conversation. We've only got 4 minutes before we go off to NPR News and then Science Friday. And Marty, how about it? What do you think? This is the first time on air with us here. What do you think? You're going to come back in October? Yes, you are. What are you doing October, middle of October?
I would be happy to. Thank you very much for having me. It's very exciting, all of the energy and the phones ringing and people sharing support. And we actually have a new member that we would like to thank, Tara McClanahan. From one new member, me, to another. Thank you very much, Tara, for becoming a new member of HPR. She, like I, also listens to HPR via the smartphone app. So,
oh, cool.
Yeah, and we're technically neighbors, valley to valley. So, hey, just goes to show, making connections, making friends. Here we are at HPR, hearing each other's voices, helping to amplify each other's voices, and building connections between each other. And that's really what it's all about. Very exciting.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
We have one true believer, and we also have another person who is joining HPR for the first time at $5 a month. And we have $65 to go on our challenge of $1,000, and we have exactly 3 minutes to do it. Gene?
Yep, again, where you can effectively triple the amount coming to HPR if you call right now. This is a very rare opportunity to make your dollar even go farther. We're going to end the drive today, but we still have some distance to go. All I implore you to do is do it now. Let's not wait till the end of the day. Let's not wait for the midday. Let's not wait for somebody else to do it.
And do it in support of HPR, too. In support of HPR, too. By the way, I want to welcome our listeners who have been listening to Morning Edition on HPR 1. Welcome to HPR 2. And stay with us for the rest of the morning. If you're not going to listen to some classical music, we have Science Friday coming up. Right after that, we have The World and All Things Considered. HPR 2's got some great lineups, okay? We got some good stuff. And the thing that we definitely want to do is have your Saturday uninterrupted tomorrow. But that's only going to be possible if you give us a call right now at 941-3689. We have two lines being used right now. That means that we have six lines. They'd much rather be talking to you. Come on, people. You can triple your leverage right now with a call to Hawaii Public Radio. 941-3689. Toll free 1-877-941-3689. Don't wait. If you've been on the sidelines from day one, I don't know what else I can tell you. I mean, I really don't. I mean, we're showing you our heart, what we're all about. But we need your support now more than ever.
All in, baby. All in. Today's the last day. Let's do it.
Absolutely.
16 cents a day. That's, you know, you can afford 16 cents a day for the amount of amazing coverage and conversation that we have here on HPR2. Put it in perspective.
Absolutely. And don't forget all the people, all the guests that have been on the conversation throughout the years. Now's your time to show your support. Yeah, Monday it's going to come uninterrupted and you're going to listen. But you're going to listen only because of all the heavy lifting that was done in the past 10 days. You're going to be able to listen to that. You know, do your part. 941-3689. I want to remind you that you're tuned to Member Supported. That's right. I said member-supported Hawaii Public Radio, KIPO Honolulu, KIPM Waikapu, KHBH Kailua-Kona, KIPH Hana, KIPO Lihue, and KAHU Pahala, collectively the stations of HPR2. We're going to
You hear the phones ringing. We'll have some numbers for you after NPR News. We're going off to Science Friday. Again, don't wait, people. We have all this matching money on the table. We need to take it now. You can triple your call by calling 941-3689, toll-free 1-877-941-3689. Thanks a lot, Marty. Thanks a lot, Wayne. Thanks a lot, Gene. Now off to the news.